Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. It's that time of the year again, one of my favourite times, in fact. No, not when the weather turns freezing and it rains a week, but the New Zealand International Comedy Festival. One of my favourite acts, and a genuinely good bloke to boot, returns this year with his new show all about an old career. The show's called Scoundrel, and the comedian's name is Kerry Marks. Welcome.
Hello.
Thanks for coming. Look, last year you were out here with two shows. I went to them both because I'm a bit of a fanboy in that regard.
Right.
And they're both awesome. You've taken the lazy option this time, just the one show.
Yes. No, what it is, it's a two-hour show in 1 hour. In fact, it's a three-hour show in 1 hour. So it's actually much harder work this year.
Is that like 4 minute abs versus 5 minute abs?
You're looking at me knowing I'm
abs.
Talking absolute bollocks.
This is like 4 minute abs versus 5 minute abs, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
It's the same workout in a small
No, it's two shows was actually quite a lot of work last year, so this is quite nice. It's the one show, and it's quite a comprehensive one because it involves a story. The show is called Scoundrel, and the story is about a seance that I ran when I was 19 years old. And back then I was a magician. This is what I used to do for a living. I used to pull potatoes out of people's ears, which might sound like I don't really mean that, but that's exactly what I used to do. I used to walk around with a whole mass of potatoes, and my act for quite a long time was to come out and pull a potato out of someone's ear and then get someone on stage and pull a potato out of his ear. And when I first ever did that, I didn't know it was funny. And the audience kept laughing, and then I ended up spending most of my life searching around trying to find potatoes of different shapes and sizes. And carrots, and I went on to other vegetables, and what would happen is my act would rot. I'd arrive somewhere and open my case, and my act was stinky. I know, pretty bad.
You end up pulling vodka out of people's ear.
Yeah.
This is basically where the title of the show comes in, isn't it? But it's called Scoundrel, and you used to deceive people for a living.
I did, and this is... It wasn't so much for a living back then. This happened when I was 19 years old, and it was working at a Pontins holiday camp, which I'm not sure if you're too aware of the holiday camps.
We've seen them on TV.
You know the Heidi High scene. It's
or Dirty Dancing, I mean, for a younger audience, basically.
Yes, yes, that kind of thing, yeah, absolutely. It's like a concentration camp of fun. and what we do is we have the punters there and put on all kinds of games and silly stuff for it, and it was intense work, and at the end of it, a group of us, having become very good friends, decided we wanted to do a last night thing, and someone suggested a seance, so I ran a seance, and it became incredibly intense. I don't want to talk about it too much now, because I'll describe it in the show, but basically I run through what happened and tell the story, and I think you get to see it from the practitioner's side and realise just how easy it is to be taken in by something, and that from the side of the performance, everything you're doing is ridiculously obvious. And it went too far. It went to the point where it becomes very difficult to tell people afterwards that it was meant to be a bit of fun, because it just isn't anymore. So that's what the show's about. And then I run through the gamut of beliefs and things that work on the same principles. And in many ways, I think it's probably a more offensive show than anything I've done before if you are a believer in things. That's what I found, because I found that people's beliefs are that much more personal. You know, so you know the show I've done before, and having a look at rules of language and so on is something I suppose people expect from a comedian, but they don't expect to have their beliefs thrown in their faces. But at the same time, I'm all for people to believe anything they want to, and I love different belief systems, but I think you've got to be able to laugh at yourself.
Do you?
I mean,
what is your view on psychics? Because I know that Russell and I are pretty. I'd go past skeptical and just say that I think they're, you know, that they prey on the weak and the elderly and the infirm and the you know, the worst kind of scoundrel.
I thought
really.
You were going to go the other way and tell me what I was thinking. You know, Russell and I already know your answer. Which is
but you know, to me, psychics are among the worst kind of scam artists, really.
It is, and it's a horrible scam, and one of the things I do in the show is I demonstrate a Uri Geller stunt, bend a piece of metal, and just really talk about how silly it is that people ever accepted that it's possible to make a spoon bend, or that if someone had that power, they would use it to bend cutlery, and that would be the sole purpose of it. But yes, the fortune-telling, the psychic stuff, it does. There's people who spend a fortune trying to find out what happened to their loved ones. In Edinburgh this year, there was a man called Joe Power who had a lot of publicity, and I was dragged along to see his show, and it was extremely unpleasant. There's one point where he's saying that there's a man at the back there. He's I believe, sir, you have a pacemaker, and the man said no, and he said, well, there's someone you know who has a pacemaker, and the man thought about it. He was really trying to help, and he said, no, there's not, And so Joe Power said, maybe someone along your row has a pacemaker. And it ended up going about three rows back until a woman said her daughter had a pacemaker. Mm. And it turned out her daughter had died recently. So she's now pouring with tears. And Joe Power finds out that the daughter was 19 years old. And he says, am I right to say your daughter had a picture of a pop star in her room? She's like, she's 19 years old. She's likely to. And, of course, on this occasion, it went against him because the woman said, no, you didn't.
See, I went to... See, Colin Fry, you know, is obviously quite a successful psychic, and I went to a show of his.
Yes.
And I was amazed, you know, watching it, sitting there with a notepad, just how many misses he got. Walked out at half-time expecting the audience to be outraged, you know, buying rotting tomatoes from the nearest stall to throw at them. And they were just going, wow, he's got a gift, hasn't he? And you're like, are you serious?
Do you know what it is? It's people think there's a trick to it. And when you watch it, as yourself, if you watch it as a skeptic, you realise they don't even need a trick. There is no trick to it. They just keep talking, keep looking confident, and people so desperately want to help them. But people want to believe things. I met a man who, he told me he was, this is a guy in a bar, he's out, I'm out on the pool tonight and I really feel lucky because I'm wearing my lucky underpants. And it took me a while to realise that he really meant he had lucky underpants on. And I can accept that a pair of underpants can feel particularly comfortable. They might have the perfect elasticity to improve the way you walk. But even then, those aren't actually lucky underpants. They're corrective underpants. and there's a problem that even if he was right, his lucky underpants might help him to attract a woman. But they've got to attract the perfect kind of woman, the one he's looking for. And if it gets to the point where he gets her into bed and at some point he's going to take his lucky underpants off, and that's when his luck could change horribly. That's when he takes her eye out and her teeth.
Have you had those kinds of people along to the show, and has anyone walked out or been offended?
Yes, and surprised me which bits would cause the walkout, because I talk about ghosts at one point. That's had walkouts. People were... Because they've been led to believe that their loved ones are alive and wandering around town, and they can go to people who allow them to speak to the loved ones. And in some ways, what these people do, you can see that it's not that everything they do is bad. The psychics do help a lot of people, but including that is an awful amount of just barefaced lying that keeps people held on a hook, where they have to keep going back and seeing them over and over again. So yeah, that part, a great deal. Religion, of course, is a massive one to cause walkouts. But I think laugh at yourself. If you have beliefs, it's a case of dignity rather than demanding respect. I demand respect for whatever I believe. Other people must respect it. No, they don't. They don't have to. And certainly a stand-up comedian doesn't have to respect anything you believe. And if you're not sure about that, come and see my show. And I will demonstrate it as a fact.
I was going to say, we've just been through Easter, of course, which is the most famous magic trick of all, really.
Yes, of course, yeah.
One of your last shows, though, correct me if I'm wrong, was the 10 most offensive... Was it the 10 most offensive things?
Yes, the 10 biggest taboos in comedy.
So you're saying that you've had more walkouts from this current show than a show that... quickly, the 10...
it's ridiculous, isn't it? I'll tell you why possibly, though, is that... with that show, of course, it was heavily advertised as being the 10 most offensive things. So anyone who's offended by a particular word or subject matter probably didn't come along. I think some people don't read advertising too much. So here they just see the word seance and they think, oh, yes, I believe in ghosts. I'm going to go along and see that. And then I just ridicule everything they believe in. So it might be for that reason.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel mean doing it?
Do you know what? Sometimes, yes. I do... try and present a full round picture, and with this one, what I was trying to do was, I in the original writing for it, I wrote a piece that was really about trying to explain these beliefs in a way that the people don't manage to explain it to me. So if someone believes in ghosts or God or whatever, then they tend to use the wrong language when talking to me, and I was trying to come up with language for them that would put their case better. But in actual fact, I just found there were too many holes in every argument you could put forward. And I think that's what it is with these beliefs, is you just have to ignore every obvious argument for why it's ridiculous. I get into homeopathy as one of the things in this show, and I don't know if you know much about homeopathy, but it's...
A small drop of something in a big drop of something, isn't it?
That was perfectly put. And, yes, a tiny drop of something. Well, not even a molecule, actually, of something which cures you. And I break it down into 11 different beliefs. You know, in many ways, it makes it one of the most ridiculous beliefs on the planet, because there's so many layers that you have to accept to take this as a medicine. But still, it flourishes. And in England, we have homeopathic hospitals, and the NHS have 4 homeopathic hospitals whilst they're cash-strapped for ordinary operations. So I think it's relevant.
And the royal family.
What I'm doing is important in changing life.
The British royal family are users of homeopathy.
Yeah, well,
as
they're
well,
aren't they? Nuts, aren't they? They're, they were also the British royal family were big into crop circles, weren't they? They conducted an investigation to find out what was going on with crop circles.
I mean, genetically challenged, let's say.
I believe they're into aliens and everything else, and they probably are aliens. I don't know.
Now, just briefly before we wrap up, I think you got married last time you were here. Is that right?
I did.
That's still all right.
Yes.
Still going well. Good.
Lucky. The answer was yes, wasn't it?
that was a risky question.
I saw it looked like he was still wearing a wedding ring. So
I'm still wearing the ring.
See, I did my research.
You would actually be quite a good medium. You'd be a good psychic.
I see things are still
It was
going.
Amazing. We got married on Devonport Beach last year, and it was fantastic. And all the comics came along, and people from the festival, and it was an incredible day. And I did two shows in the evening.
Now you've got you've got 7 nights in Auckland, 7 nights in Wellington. Started last night in Auckland and goes through to next Saturday and then the following week in Wellington. All the details at comedyfestival.co.nz. Thank you, Kerry Marks.
Yes, and do come along and do enjoy the festival. This really is the best festival in the world. I'm not just saying that. This is my favourite festival, and there are some great shows on here. So absolutely, thank you very much, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
After the break, new music from Lugabowa.